I was just reflecting upon the music, and as we know, his death is visibly seen in Isaiah 53, and we think about how he was wounded for my transgressions, and he bare my iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, so be reconciled with his Father. No? And by his stripes, we were healed. And that's 53:5. But we need to share with others what has occurred. But we need to put it to memory. Even as the children were teaching us this morning, and they put me to shame, as they have a memory that quite astounds us as adults. But what is more important than that, and I encourage the children, of course, to memorize Scripture. But even as I was a child and I was memorizing Scripture, and could do it a whole lot better than now, the thought of conveying that Scripture to others kind of intimidated me. And that's why I'd like to touch this subject this morning about manifesting the light. And of course, we understand that the light is the truth of God's Word. And we're going to look at this this morning in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul was addressing this particular church that was located in Asia Minor, where there were a lot of idolatrous practices, a pagan society, and one of most common idolatrous practices was to worship a particular woman whose name was Diana, the Queen of Heaven. Before them, they thought of her as the goddess of heaven. And we need to understand that even today we have rituals practiced, even in the community where we're living, which exalt a particular lady. Her name is Mary, as we know, in the Catholic community we are ministering in. And in Honduras, the overall thought is exalting humans that had lived at one time in the past, and they're held in very high esteem. But what we need to do is we need to exalt Christ. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And we need to exalt and esteem him above all others. In the first half of Ephesians, we can see a doctrinal portion of what Paul was trying to convey about our identification in Christ. We're nothing without Christ. We can appear seated in heaven, but in Christ as being righteous. And so the overall thought is, in the first part, is our position before God, you know, the Father. By means of Christ, we stand holy in his presence. But in the latter half of this book, we see the practice. And putting to practice is something that we all struggle with. But we need to understand that, obviously, that if Christ lives in us, then we have this light to shine forth and to exhibit his image before others. But not only that, I would like to challenge us about taking what we know and conveying it to others. And we'll see how important that is. If we could just read a portion of text here in chapter 5. It starts off in the portion here at the beginning about conveying the need to follow God as true children of light. And idolatrous community and society in which we live, where God is not mentioned, but yet others are esteemed higher than him, we need to convey who we believe in, really. And let's just read this portion of Scripture in chapter 5, and verse 6 to 14. Excuse me, verse 7 and onward to 14. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifested by the light, for whatever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask that you would lead us with your Spirit to understand what you would have us to practice in our life, to apply in our lives by faith, so that you might be glorified and honored. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask this. Amen. Amen. Here we have a portion of Scripture that reveals to us that that we are to be children of light in this world full of darkness. Light, as I said, would be something that represents truth. And as Christ said, I am the way, the truth. You know, the truth. There's no other truth that was conveyed. We need to understand, too, that if we don't convey this truth, as it tells us, faith comes by hearing the word of God. That is the truth. We need to convey it that others might have faith. We need to make it known. We ought not to keep our mouths tightly sealed. That is sin before God. As even we'll study this out, as we know, the Bible teaches us to be followers of God in the first verse of chapter 5. It goes on to say that, that we ought to walk as Christ walked, but obviously the first characteristic that stands out most important, even in verse 2 it says, is love, even as it's on the top of the list of the fruit of the Spirit, as we know in chapter 5 of Galatians in verse 20 and onward. Here we see also that this is an expression of selflessness that we ought to portray. Thinking of others and not thinking of ourselves. Thinking about who we are and how we're going to appear before others if we open our mouths to convey what we believe in. We always wait until that question comes up. What do you believe in? Is that the way we ought to conduct ourselves, in a passive state of mind, waiting for someone to maybe ask us what we believe in before we start opening our mouths? Let us hear more about what Paul has to say to a church that was struggling to take a stand for what they believe in a pagan society where they were raised, for the most part, Gentiles that he was speaking with. And he instructed a young man called Timothy to take over this responsibility and admonish and encourage and strengthen the body there, as I have done with young men in the particular pagan society where we live, as they are co-pastoring the church there, young men in the faith that were recently converted to Christ and not even able to read and write in their own language. And they had to stand before the congregation and speak, not with too much knowledge, but with little knowledge of what they know. We can do it if they can. If they can do it, we can do it. The Bible tells us here in verse 3 onward, it describes the particular immoral society in which they were living. So much immoral conversation that's going on today, and they boast about what they do in their lives. And what do? It shouldn't be even named among us as saints. We shouldn't even be wrapped up into any type of conversation or perhaps associating with such individuals that are discussing these things. Filthy, foolish talking and jesting goes on all around about us. In verse 4, just in the pagan society of Ephesus, there was this too, and believers were hearing it and seeing it. And what were they doing? Were they speaking out against it? There's profane, foul language, profanity all around us. People using Christ's name in vain. And even speaking about Christ as if he was someone as they that had relationships with women. Are we willing to speak up against that? The Bible goes on to tell us that there are whoremongers. We have many mujeriegos, we call them, in our midst there where we live. The macho image is to have more than one wife, and the women that they are joined to do not complain about that. They accept it. And what do? We speak up against it. We tell them that this is going to be judged by God. As Hebrews talks about this in chapter 13, it says that all adulterers and whoremongers will be judged. It tells also a little bit more about those that are idolaters. Obviously, we are surrounded by idolaters. Materialism and the almighty dollar is being raised up into such esteem that it is worshipped. What do we do? Do we say that we're failing? Do we recognize that we're failing to speak out against these things that we see? Is it our responsibility to say something? How many want to manifest the light of Christ? Everybody says, I want to manifest the light of Christ. Of course I do. You really want to speak the truth? Do you really? John bear witness of the light, chapter 1 of John. He declares the light shineth in darkness, exposes the darkness. That means the truth exposes the lies. Are we willing to clarify what is a lie that is being spoken before us? The light that exhibited does that. When Christ was here, he didn't share just the gospel of him dying on the cross and him wanting to go to the cross to bear our sins there and to take the punishment for us. His declaration was the truth. He spoke about the truth in parables, but he spoke about the truth in opposition to those that were living a lie, especially the religious leaders of his day. He spoke out against their lies. Bear witnessing of the light. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The darkness represents the kingdom of Satan that's around about us. The lies that he's incorporated within the society. And we are willing to speak out and make it known what the truth really is. The true light came, as John says in chapter 1. He says he illuminates every man that comes into the world. We can illuminate people by giving them the truth. If you don't give the truth, they will never have faith. We need to make it known. Christ said, I am the true light. I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall have light. We need to make it known as he made it known. I'll go more into this much later, but what I'd like to do is to take you through this scripture and understand how can one make known the light that Christ made known? How can the light be manifested? How can we augment or magnify more light? And if we do not, if we refuse to cooperate with the Spirit of Christ that lives within us to speak on his behalf, and many were saying, well, I'm really not called to speak. Just the pastor and the missionary or the deacons or the elders. Those that were trained should be doing that. I tell you once again that these men that spoke before the congregation, those that we led to Christ, were men that didn't know how to read and write. They had to memorize one verse, that's all, and give a Bible story to declare what they believed that verse was conveying. Does a child have enough information when he comes to Christ to be able to speak the truth? Well, he certainly does. As my child told me, my daughter said, Poppy, that frightens me, what I'm seeing there on the television. I immediately was convicted I should shut that TV off because it's something that's promoting the powers of darkness. Has a child the knowledge of speaking for Christ? Of course he does. We know enough to be responsible to convey it to others. The Bible tells us in verse 7, I'd like to expound a little bit about what our main text talks about. As we know in verse 6 that these ones will be judged in the world. The wrath of God will come upon them. And what do? To express our appreciation for the sacrifice that Christ has done, as we have sang in that last hymn. We should not have any participation in what they do. Be not partakers in what they do. In 7, it talks about that. But that means do not associate or participate or even assimilate in what they're doing. As responsible stewards of God's light, as 1 Peter talks about in chapter 4 and verse 10, it says that we ought to be stewards that are faithful. to bear forth this gift that we've been given and to use it. And he says, if anybody has a word, he ought to speak forth this word by using the oracle of God. That is the word of God, the truth of God's word. Everybody fits into that category if he knows Christ as his Lord and Savior. If he's converted, he needs to speak. Peter understood that. Paul understood that, as we'll see more here. The Bible tells us, at one time in the past, we were in a different state. Our lives were lost. We were not converted as of yet. And he declares in verse 8 that in that former time, in contrast, now we ought to conduct ourselves completely different, like black and white. All right, we are children of light. We are to walk as children, conduct ourselves actively, participating with the ability that he's given us and the capacity to speak on his behalf. Does it not say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that we are new creatures in Christ? Old things have passed away, old things become new, if we're really in Christ. And then goes on to tell us that we bear forth the ministry of reconciliation. And as if God's speaking through our lips, telling people, be reconciled to your Creator through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a wonderful portion of Scripture, and it conveys that we're responsible. If Christ lives in us, we are to speak on his behalf, and he's speaking through our mouths to tell others that they need to get things right before their heavenly Father, because they're at odds with him through their conduct. He will judge it. We'll go on to see here that in verse 9, that there is a manifestation of his Spirit that is visibly seen. The fruit of the Spirit can be seen in verse 9 of righteousness and truth. This is a conduct, a way of living, but this is also more than that. I hear many times people justifying themselves and saying, well, I live what I believe in. And I believe that too. I really can see it. But the problem is, and the challenge is to speak about what you believe in. And even Paul said, those that were speaking in pretense, preaching in pretense, with ulterior motives, and trying to get rich schemes. You'd hear them all the time, and there was great evangelists here that are on the television, internationally known and all. But he says, he praises God that the word is getting out. If we can just speak on his behalf, don't let Satan try to discredit you in your mind and thinking that you are not worthy to speak on his behalf. If you have been given a measure of knowledge, you are responsible for that knowledge to give it to your children at least, so that they might come to an understanding by faith in Jesus Christ. What is right and what is wrong? Is it so difficult to see and declare it to others? I think not. We can see it downstairs this morning and how the children were speaking the truth and how they were taught that by not only their teachers in Sunday school but also their parents. One step further, going to those that are lost around about us, in the workplace, in our neighborhoods, all around about us, there are people that are declaring lies to you and me. Are we willing to clarify what is the truth? The Bible tells us more in this portion of Scripture, how we to do this. Discernment is needed. In verse 10, we need to prove, we need to discern, we need to examine, we need to understand what is well-pleasing to the Lord, what is acceptable to him. And if we see something that is not acceptable to him, ought we not to declare that we're not in agreement with it? That is the challenge to us as believers today. We are not willing to declare it. And if we are not willing to declare it, what are the consequences? What do we lose? This portion of Scripture that we've read in the main text today that will reveal what will happen to us as we can see it, as we've come here to the United States and we began to realize that there are certain things that are going on around about those that are believers and declare that they are children of light, and their light is drawing dim and is being overwhelmed by the powers of darkness. Let us learn from God's word as we find out how that can come about. The Bible tells us in verse 11 that we ought not to have any fellowship. That means not have any company or participation in the works of darkness that they're involved in. That means deeds or toils or their conduct, but also their communication. How do we show that we are separate from that, that we are not in any way in agreement with that? Verse 11 really is overwhelming to read, because the last part of it is an overwhelming exhortation that Paul is conveying to the church of Ephesus as he made it known verbally to the silversmiths that their work to make shrines of Diana was against God Almighty and his word, that he is the only one to be worshipped, and he's a jealous God, and he will not share that place of worship with anyone. He had destroyed the prophet of these silversmiths, and they wanted to kill him for it. And he made it known to Timothy that he ought to take a stand and not be overwhelmed by the society in which he lives and to be intimidated by them. He ought to reprove them. Reprove is a harsh word, perhaps, that we can say, because it conveys that we ought to rebuke, admonish, and warn them, and convince them that what they're doing is absolutely against the will of God. To speak out for your faith and to tell people the truth when they're led by a lie is very difficult to do, as you're placing your life in danger, as Paul did. Even as prophets of yesterday did the same, Ezekiel was known as a watchman. In his book, in chapter 3, it talks about his responsibility was to warn, to rebuke those that were walking contrary to the law of Moses. He not only warned the just, but he had to warn the unjust as he was living in captivity in Babylon, as well as under the authority of pagan rulers. His life was at stake at many times, but he had to make it known what he believes in. In verse 12, it goes on to say, there's shameful things that are being conducted by those around about us. Shameful, is it, to even speak about and make jest and joke about the homosexuals and what they do? Is it not? It's an abominable thing to even make jest of. As the Bible tells us in verse 12, it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. These things that they're doing in private, these perverse things, they speak about and they boast about it. And they even conduct themselves in a shameful fashion, openly displaying it, kissing in the parks and holding their hands. It's a shameful thing to elaborate what they do and to become entangled in their affairs and conversant. Would it not be considered embarrassing to us? Or have we lost that shame? As God thinks it's shameful, he detests it. The immoral relationships, they go on and boast about what they're involved in. Are we willing to speak out against it? The jesting and the profanities that go on around about us in the workplace, in the schools, wherever we are, we can hear it. Are we willing to say God is displeased by what he hears? Oh, well, what they're going to think of me as different. I can't appear like I'm different. I can't ruffle any feathers, and I can't appear like I'm some type of Christian fanatic. Verse 14, we're going to discover what the consequences will be for those that are not willing to speak the truth. But I say to you in love, the Bible tells us in 2 John and 3 John that the truth was conveyed in love, obviously led by the Spirit of Christ. All things are reproved, it says in verse 13. All things are reproved. That means warned, convinced, and rebuked. All things are reproved by what means? By manifestation of the light. That means manifestation of the truth. We cannot complete God's will or fulfill His will and to reprove the world without opening our mouths and making known what the truth says. We cannot do it. But I'm just waiting until someone comes up to me and tells and asks me about what is that hope that lies within me. Is it not true that we ought to study and show ourselves approved unto God to appear as we know what we believe in? How are we to make it known? By opening our mouths. We are to declare that we are not in agreement with what we see and what we hear. And what are the consequences if we do not do this? I'd like to take a look at that. In verse 14, it reveals a little bit about that. But I'd like to make it known that we need to rebuke with love, considering the fact that this waves about going, speaking in a tactful fashion, making it known that we're not in agreement, we're in disagreement with what we observe. Manifesting this light takes courage. God did not give it as a spirit of cowardness, but a spirit of dynamite, power to make it known what we believe in. A true friend, if you want to be a friend of the world as Christ was, you'll make known what the truth is. As Proverbs 27:6 goes on to tell us, that the true friend will make it known to those around about them and what's wrong. And it hurts him, but we've got to make it known. Christ said, I brought a sword with a double edge. No, is it not? And it causes division among family members and friends. It hurts. Verse 14, we'll discover what the consequences is if we do not want to open our mouths and speak and make it known what we believe in as we observe these wicked practices around about us being displayed before our eyes is not a witness of a crime held guilty in a court of law today, if he's not willing to bear witness against a criminal or even assassin? Is the judge of all this universe going to hold us responsible if we do not open our mouths and tell people that using Christ's name in vain is wrong? But we've been exposed to this in the radio. We've been exposed to by this in the television with the movie and the particular programs that we hear. Everybody's doing it. Is that not lulling us to sleep? Does that not put us to sleep a little bit, accepting it again and again, not saying anything, or maybe turning it off, saying, I'm not going to expose myself to this powers of darkness that's coming near? Verse 14, we need to separate from such. We need to declare where we are. We're not in agreement with it. Verse 14, what will happen if we don't? Yes, we can say that those that are around about us that are not converted are dead. Obvious, we can understand that. And I have something to share about this as we're looking at a portion of Scripture that it addresses those that make it known that they are believers in Christ. He said, awake thou that sleepeth. He's telling them with an exhortation and with a command, get up and move from thy inactive spiritual state, which conveys a spiritual complacency or lethargic state of mind or thinking, at ease with all that one sees and hears. We're all guilty. If you're going to tell me you're not guilty, you're lying to yourself. We are all guilty. I've been exposed to the powers of darkness around about me, and I did not open my mouth to declare where I am. There's opportunities all around us every single day where we live. and we remain silent, what does our silence convey? Approval or agreement or accomplice? Possibly we could appear. The Bible tells us, arise. That means get up. Stand up for your convictions with spiritual vitality and vigor to change the appearance of inactivity and conformity to the world. Alert, alert. Watch out. There's a danger. We are watchmen. The blood of these people could be upon our hands. As Ezekiel has been told, we too are responsible to speak for the measure of knowledge we have. Greater condemnation will have all those that are teachers because they know more. James 3:1 says, you know more, you're more responsible to speak. If you want to remain silent, you too will be held responsible for the God of this universe. In what way? There are loss of rewards, I would have you know. If you would like to study that, it's in 1 Corinthians 3. But we need to understand that there is a loss. Your image before others can be seen as one that really does not believe in what you say. The Bible addresses those that are dead. We can look at Ephesians 2 and just excuse and justify ourselves and say, well, I'm not dead. I don't have to awake from the dead. I've already been wakened up by Christ. Positionally, yes. But practically, we need to examine ourselves that we not give an appearance of a person that does not believe what we know is the truth. We're not repeating what we know. We're not telling others about what we know. We are remaining silent. If we remain silent, can it be interpreted as our approval? Oh, yes. You just have to go in a court of law and discover that even the society in which we live hold to this truth. Even to the point where you can be accomplice. Giving light is the reward for those that are willing to speak up for the truth. He tells us this. And Christ shall give thee light at the end of 14. And you will be given, you will be illuminated and given a measure of truth that is far more than you once had before. As we know in 1 Timothy in chapter 3, when we look at the deacons, and they were told this too, if they are faithful in what they were given, God would give them a greater boldness and capacity to speak out and to stand for what they believe in. In chapter 3 and verse 13, it talks about this. If we really want to manifest that light, declare the truth, to make it known what we believe in, we start with what little we know. And when somebody says, my boss isn't going to see me, I worked in AT&T, a big, huge organization. They had about 20,000 employees, once known as North Andover, Western Electric. People are always telling me, you know, I'm not going to know if he's going to see me. I'm going to just take this with me. Isn't that stealing? We're not saying anything, but we need to speak out. Never forget men speaking in a profane fashion and just glorying in their immoral relationships. And they try to tie me into their conversations, get me involved. And I just simply said, well, I don't want to have a relationship like that. I was brought up in a broken home and I was left as an orphan by my dad, abandoned. And I don't want to raise my kids without them knowing their father. He says, who are you? You're a weirdo. We're going to receive some comments that perhaps we might not like. Oh, they really let me have it when they found out I was actually a virgin. Man, they really lambasted me, no? we willing to declare what the truth is? That's a challenge for us today. When we live in a society that is inundated with lies, in promoting movies that teach us about infidelity, unfaithfulness, and also the need to reap vengeance against those that do such things to us. We need to take heed to what we're seeing here. This word, egiro, in Greek, egiro, is an alert to a danger. It can be used in two senses. It's taken in a physical sense in some portions of Scripture, and also in a spiritual sense, that one ought to awaken. It says, awaken to a state of illness in Mark 2:11. In Luke 7:14, it says a state of death even. So it can be something permanent or it can be something temporarily in a temporal state. But it can be used in both states, physically and spiritually, as we've seen even in Romans chapter 13 and 11 and 12. It says, awake you that are sleeping. Put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, the truth of his word. It's exhorting believers, telling them that Christ is coming, that salvation is coming near. It's that day is at hand. He's coming. All of us will have to give an account. Oh, dear Lord, help us, forgive us for being lulled to sleep at those moments when we need to speak. Who was it that fell prey to this? As we learn more about what had happened, as this word death implies, nekros in the Greek word, there's no function of life present there, but it's inactive, even as the brain is inactive with any kind of electrical circuit. In a state of complete spiritual torpor, one theologian said. And the apostle is trying to stir up this individual that he would be resurrected from his state of lethargic complacency. The promise is an enlightenment, illumination. We have the ability to convey to others what the truth is by the Spirit of Christ that lives within us. Are we quenching it? Can we see that even Israel was given this exhortation in Isaiah 26 and also 51 later on? It talks about them being lulled to sleep by the influence of the idolatrous world round about them. And that they ought to awake, and to represent him in a way that would be worthy of their calling. We see in the life of various men, and I'm not saying that each one of us ought to be at this same measure of boldness to speak on behalf of Christ. But it tells us, obviously, in Romans 12:3, that each one has been given a measure of faith or capacity or ability to manifest this light or truth. Obviously, there are some that can do it more often and much more eloquence than others. But if we know just a measure of God's truth, we have a responsibility to convey it when the opportunity comes to us. Noah was one of very few. Only 8 were saved in his day. But he had to speak in his day against all those that were involved in violence and destruction. In the day of Joshua and Caleb, they had to speak when they were 2 out of 12 spies. Only those 2 spoke the truth, and the other 10 spoke against them, as well as the rest of the nation of Israel did not want to go into the promised land because of what they heard. the giants and the land and the fortified cities and the great armies that were present there. They got intimidated by what they heard. Are we willing to speak the truth and be an encouragement to those around about us? Elijah was one that did so in Mount Carmel. It says that Israel did not stand alongside of him. He said, why are you divided between two opinions? If Baal is truly God, then stand with him. Or if Jehovah, Jireh, is truly God, stand with me on this side. Fire came down upon from heaven to consume his sacrifice, declaring who the true God was. He executed the 450 Baal prophets speaking on behalf of this false god. Are we willing to stand alone? Jeremiah in his day in captivity or in his way to captivity, he still was in Judah at that time, but he declared what they ought to do. Let us turn us in into the Chaldeans. And he would dupe a traitor, betraying his people and thrown into prison. There's a cost to speak the truth. Are we willing to do so? His own people were not willing to hear the truth. John the Baptist, Christ said out of his own mouth, what did he say? There was not one man born of a woman like John the Baptist, the greatest man born of a woman. Why? He had the same spirit of Elijah. In what way? Maybe the courage that he had to declare the truth, even when it cost him his head, to declare that his governing ruler had the wife of his brother, and it was wrong, against the law of Moses. Are we willing to speak the truth? We're living in a day where people are not willing to speak the truth. To manifest the light costs one's life even in other areas of the world. It hasn't reached here yet. What desensitizes us? Let us discover through this one last illustration before I close. And I'd like to share a testimony as well. Christ, the best example that there was and there is today. Christ, he warned his disciples in the Last Supper. He says, all of you, in Matthew 26:31, all of you shall be offended this night. When? When they smite the shepherd. The sheep or his followers, you know, will be scattered abroad. They will desert him. Disloyalty, is it not? To not follow what Christ. Has said and done. Matthew 26:34. He declared before Peter. For them all too. He said that you too will deny me. You will not deny me. You will forsake me, that is. And but here he said, Peter, you're going to deny me. And you'll make it known by a cock crowing. Oh, it's smitten me. When that event happened to me, when I was given up the opportunity to speak out against certain things that I observed, and that got crowed, but it wasn't a crow. A little child telling me, Daddy, this is bad. Whoa! Yes, you're right, my little daughter. You're right. What can we do to improve this problem? As Christ declared to Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane thereafter. He said, just before entering the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, do you know something? Satan is going to appear in Judas Iscariot. But he said, Satan had desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have what? I have prayed that your faith fail not. Oh, he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, 26:41, he says, pray and be alert. Be alert and pray. Watch and pray that you not fall into this temptation. When you leave this door, it's going to be an opportunity to fall. You're going to buckle at the knees. As I saw these young men that didn't know how to read and write, shaking at the knees before the congregation. It was 30 of us that they had to speak to. They didn't know nothing about the scriptures. Recently converted. And didn't even know nothing. And they spoke for 15 minutes, declaring something about a Bible story that they had memorized. and how it related to that verse that they memorized. Wonderful thing to see boldness in action, especially at a young age in Christ. And then it says that Christ prayed for him, that his faith fail not. Oh, dear Lord, prompt the hearts of my brethren here to pray on our behalf, to strengthen us when our knees are buckling. It says, be watchful and pray, because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What was happening at that moment? Were they being lulled to sleep physically, but also spiritually? What happened to poor little Peter and the other disciples? Going beyond the middle of the night, as well as the middle of the day. Is someone sleeping out there? What happened to that moment? They're being lulled to sleep. The powers of darkness is at work, if we read this, in Luke 22, 52, and 53. It tells them, be ye come out, Christ declared before this crowd of men bearing swords and staves. Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the hour of darkness. The power of darkness. Is the power of darkness overwhelming us? Dominating the environment around about us? Is there just a glimmer of light that can shine in our declaration of the truth, as Christ declared, as he was brought before Pilate? They are heathen, pagans. What can I say to change the situation? Nothing. But you might gain another premio in cielo, crown of glory in our heavenly kingdom. The Bible tells us the powers of darkness is at work. They're at sleep. They should have prayed to prepare themselves for what they were going to see. As Judas Iscariot draw close to Christ to betray him, he was led away by these soldiers and brought before Caiaphas and later before Pilate. And here I would like to declare to you what he said before Pilate. Christ spoke in John 18, 37 and 38. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. Take heed to what he's saying. To this end was I born. We're to be followers of Christ. That's what it says in the first verse of chapter 5. As children of light, as he was a light in the world, we ought to be children of light, following his footsteps. I was born for this purpose. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the what? Truth. The light of life that is declared. It is wrong to steal. It is wrong to seek vengeance against your prójimo, which is your neighbor. Are we willing to speak the truth? Pilate said, what is the truth? The world's asking us, what is the truth? Manifestation of the truth needs to be shown. It is one thing to just be complacent and not say anything and to approve the actions of those that are representing the kingdom of darkness. And it's a whole nother manifestation when one speaks out, as these men that I mentioned spoke out for the truth, and all of a sudden in the midst of the darkness could be seen something representing what was right and ethical and correct in a society that's corrupt. I'm going to tell you what desensitizes us in a society that's already arrived, where we see, as my child was horrified by seeing some things on the television, we see it day in, day out, and it desensitizes me and my wife. And we don't realize it, as our little daughter mentioned it. In our society, I was called on the phone many times by certain individuals that told me to pick up their son at such and such location. And so I was willing to do it. Why? Because something happened. He was in an accident. So I arrived at the scene, and there he lay with his head broken open and his brains being seen. And the little children around about him playing with his dead body. How can one be desensitized to such a sight as that? Oh, it happens when it happens every day. I lifted his body up and put it in the backside of my pickup. There's blood all over the place. There was no blanket placed over his body. And there was another one laying there too. His body was crushed under the wheels of a drunken driver. And he was still living. And people were just joking around about it and just looking at it and seeing his body there. And nobody was helping, giving him a helping hand. It wasn't too long after that that there was a tractor trailer truck that had an accident. And the guy was slowly dying inside of his vehicle as it was toppled over and it was caved in. But everybody was running to the scene of that accident to take all the things that were in the backside of the truck. That's not a lie. That happens all the time. Nobody was helping him as he was crying out. People who desensitize, what desensitizes us? Is it not the power of darkness that desensitizes and lulls us to sleep? And we don't realize it. Well, there's many other stories I can tell you that probably just stir up the chicken pox on your skin. You know, that chicken, give you chicken skin, what do they call that? Goosebumps in your skin. But I'm telling you, I saw it and I couldn't believe it. A head on a post on a bridge. The warlords had a fight. They launched a hand grenade. They had a hand grenade launched it against a vehicle that was bulletproof. And they were able to destroy the head leader of the other gang. And to declare that they won, they put his head, they cut it off and put it on a post there on the bridge for everybody to see. And the kids were out there just fooling around with it, just playing with it. What desensitizes us? Is it not sin? Is it not the darkness that overwhelms the light and nobody's willing to say anything? This is wrong. I mean, this is terrible. This is horrifying. Oh, it's sad, is it not? Even as Jeremiah cried about it. Is it not hope within our generation to speak out? Was there not hope in the time of, who was it? Jeremiah that spoke in the days of Josiah? His nation was judged. Our nation's being judged. Is there not hope available to us if we speak up for the truth? If we vote a man that's willing to say things that perhaps would be a little bit offensive because it's the truth? Are we willing to speak out for the truth? I'm telling you, our nation is in the balance. And they will lose. Our nation will lose to the powers of darkness if the light's not willing to speak out. We need to speak out as children of light. God bless you this evening. I'd like to make a call to those that are willing to make a measure of step of faith at a measure much higher than any other. Those that are willing to go out beyond their own country and to speak the truth and to declare what they believe in. I'd like to pray for us in this area of speaking out, but also for those that are willing to be missionaries for Christ. Let us please stand up and we'll pray together as I'd like to close with this. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we know that your word has declared to us today to wake up. It's a wake-up call. It's a challenge to us to take advantage of our opportunities to manifest the light. But we need to pray, confiding in you, because it's just the same prayer that had helped others not to buckle at the knees, but to stand for the truth. And also, last of all, we need to take to heart what your word says, to memorize it, not only to pray, but to memorize your word, to place it in our heart, to use it every day, but to declare what it says, to study and show ourselves approved of a God, that we're men of God and women of God. Oh, Lord, help us. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Help us to improve. We ask for your touch upon those men and women that are willing to go beyond our country and to speak on your behalf in those areas of the world that is dangerous, in those areas of the world where their lives could be at stake, even as Jeremiah found out and other prophets of yesterday. We ask, dear Lord, that there would be courageous, even as John the Baptist, taking that step of faith for your honor and glory, sharing this responsibility that we have, declaring the truth wherever one may live in opposition to it. For your honor and glory, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen.